Or just feel me out. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Good to be back. I was only gone for one service, but, you know, sometimes that seems like forever, doesn't it? I do want to say that I appreciate everyone's prayers ministering there just west of Stillwell. God certainly gave us favor with the church there, and so we will just see what the Lord has there. I'm sure that they will be wanting us to come back, and maybe, I told Brother Daniel, it would be a good little outreach for our church just to be able to help them along and the things that we know they need.
Right.
So just appreciate the prayers. And it's good to have Brother Rodney with us and Brother Russell with us. And I know Brother Prater's been sick, so I know church prayed for him Sunday morning, but let's just remember him. I was thinking that maybe he would be over it by now. But he doesn't get knocked down very easy, you know, and so I know that's probably been pretty rough on him if it kept him down. So let's just remember him in prayer. Also want to remember Aunt Mary. She texted me last night and said that she felt like her back had gone out on her and she was running a fever. And so just remember her also. And also my aunt, who was in the hospital with pneumonia and RSV, she got to go home. That was the one who was with us in service here not too long ago. And at her age, that's God, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
So we just thank the Lord for that too. It's always good to be like Sister Pansy and come back and give praise to God for the things that he does. And especially Sister Catherine's that request that she had given, and then how the Lord had moved upon that, and let's just keep believing that that'll just be totally gone. Amen. So, also remember this Saturday night's Bible study at 6:30 here at the church downstairs in the fellowship hall. Some of you might not know, but we have a downstairs space down there, so we made a fellowship hall out of it. So we have fellowship there and some food Bible study. I've got a couple of questions that are pretty doozies, but that's good. We expect that.
Yeah.
We expect that. We want you, if you have questions, we want you to be asking those questions. And if there's a question, there's a Bible answer.
Amen. Amen.
And so we believe that. We'll open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Just a few verses there, and we'll go to 2 Corinthians 10. She'll have it on the multimedia, so. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 8. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. You know who our shepherd is.
Amen.
Amen. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weary of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Very familiar scripture, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Amen?
Amen.
They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, because you are the only true living God that there is. And Lord, you have so blessed us, blessed our lives, and brought us in a pathway, Lord, we could never come on our own. Lord, there's no telling where we would be, but Lord, you have moved upon us and you've brought us to a glorious place. And Lord, we know that you have more for us. And we just love you, Lord. We appreciate all that you've done. And tonight, Lord, we just want to give this service to you. Ask, Lord, that you just speak to every heart. Lord, that you would even speak to me and speak through me and to me tonight, Lord. That you would break the bread of life to your children. We love you, Lord, and we don't pretend to be anything in ourselves at all, but Lord, what we are is what you've made us to be, and that's what we trust in. And so we just commit this service tonight, and Lord, the prayer request that we gave there just a moment, we ask God that you move upon them, each one. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. It's good to be a Christian.
Yes.
Amen. I am so glad. Real Christians, you know, they're not put-ons, they're not anything, they're just, they just have God down inside, and that's just all there is to it, and
right.
It makes all the difference in the world,
yeah.
And when we have that source and that strength that we sung about a while ago. So, I'm just going to title this tonight, Our Purpose on Earth, Our Purpose for Being Here on Earth.
Yeah.
So, you've heard it said, you know, this Bible is the only book that will tell us where we come from, and why we're here,
uh-huh.
And where we're going, right?
That's right?
We believe that. But you know, there's something else that tells us how to get there.
Yeah.
Right? It tells us how to get where we're going.
Yeah.
Amen. And so there's been so much for us, you know, the message coming along, and humanity, there's been so much of the traditional teachings and of Christianity out through the years. And you know what that consists of? That consists of all the work that Satan did to make denominations and pull people away from truth and have all this system of the great whore and the harlot daughters and all that. And that's what we were raised and born up in, around, and that's and so in all that, there's all this dominating ideas about why we're here and where we come from and where we're going after this, and it's pretty shallow what they have to say.
Right.
But you know, the message of the hour has come and has really opened it up to us to help us know a whole lot about it. That, you know, we didn't just come here. We're not just here because our parents. God sent us here. We are sons and daughters of God. That's
right.
That's right. So we know where we come from, and we know, as it's said many times, that if you know where you come from, then you know where you're going.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and so we know that God sent us here, and we're here with His genes in us, His genetics in us. We have, in our spiritual makeup, we have characteristics that are in there because we are part of God, that came from God. We're just a further extension, revelation of God,
yeah.
And that's what's in us. And so when the message has come along, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it has brought clarity to a lot of these things about where we come from and why we're here, what we're here to do, where we're going after this. We realize after we leave here, we're going to a future home, right? We're going to a future home. And the message tells us this earth is not going to be obliterated. It's not going to be destroyed. It's just going to be cleaned off,
yeah.
Right? It's going to be changed.
Uh-huh.
So the message has really taught us a lot of things. And so we're not just born here. We didn't just come here to this earth to be born and to grow up and to learn and eventually get married and have children and grandchildren,
right.
Brother Daniel, which is going to be a grandpa real soon.
Uh-huh.
Not just to have children and grandchildren, and maybe if you live long enough to have great or great-great-grandchildren, and then die. That's not what we're here for. I mean, we're supposed to do those things, right? We are. We're supposed to marry and,
sure.
You know, be fruitful. But that's not what we're here for. Those things are just a vehicle,
uh-huh.
that what's carried inside all of that is a real purpose that we have here on earth that God sent us here for.
Right.
And so much of the world, you know, and we also, even as believers, if we're not careful, we can get drawn down into just living in the natural and worried about natural things, and that was one of the things that would choke out the seed,
yeah.
Was the cares of this life, and so we get drugged down into that. But God wants us to live above those things and realize that all that is just a vehicle, and inside of all that, there's something greater taking place,
yeah.
And that is that God is I guess I'll say it this way, he's growing sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, he is. And so we're not here just to do those things, though that's what we do. They are vehicles. You know, our bodies, it's just a shell. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just a shell for what's inside.
Yeah.
Right? And what's inside is what matters the most. And so I've said a whole lot here recently, you know, everything God does has a purpose. He don't play around. He, you know, when he says something, there's a reason for it. When he does something, there's a reason for it. There's always a reason for everything. And we talk about how he is infinite and how God took that infinite, his infinite being and all that wisdom, all that power, and he put it out into his word. And when he spoke, and he spoke you, he sent you here for a purpose.
Right.
Brother Daniel was preaching about to reach that achievement,
yes,
right, of what God sent us here for.
Yeah.
He didn't send us here so we could buy another Cadillac or
right,
or another fishing rod and reel, though we might do that, right? But that's not what we're here for.
No.
That's just a vehicle of things that we learn and we grow in. And so, and while this outward man is, for a while it grows and getting stronger, and then after a while it starts getting weaker and weaker, and it starts heading back to the dust of the earth where it come from.
Yeah.
But while that's going on down inside, there's something that's growing, getting stronger and stronger, and that something inside is headed to where it come from, right?
Yeah.
Where it's going.
That's
going.
Right.
And so our flesh might be headed to the dust, but that person inside you, the one that is the part of God, he's going back to where he come from.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus said. Jesus said he come, you know, and he's going to go back.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we could probably say, Father, glorify us with the same glory we had before,
yes,
right before we came here.
That's right.
Right? Because that's exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to take us back to that. And so he sent us here for a reason,
mm-hmm,
a purpose. It's been a long time since I've ever mentioned it, and I thought about it the other day, and it comes to mind right now when the scriptures talk about the children are arrows in a man's quiver, you know. Blesses a man that's got plenty of them. We talk about taking arrows out and you shoot them at a target, you know. And so God sent us here for a reason, for a target. He wanted us to hit an achievement. He wanted us to get to.
Yeah.
Right.
We are here, we come from him, and we are here to represent him in all things. Of course, it takes a new birth for us to realize that.
Right.
But we are here to declare his goodness, his mercy, his power, his strength, his healing. Everything about God, he has put in his family. You know, that family trait is there. And when we become Christians, you know, that's the desire of our hearts is to share the family traits, to be like God, to tell people about God, to show people God, to express his mercy, to express his grace,
right,
his healing, to take God to the people.
Yes.
Just like Jesus came here, he was bringing God to the earth and brought God to the people.
Right.
And he wants us to do the same thing. That's what we're here to do. We are here to have just a, you know, to go on another fishing trip or whatever it might be, or another whatever, but he in all that he wants us to represent him,
yeah,
and to take God to those around us.
Right.
See, somebody came to you one time,
mm-hmm,
right,
and brought God to you,
yeah,
right? And so we are to do the same thing. So we express him not just one way that we. God can be expressed through our lives is just simply the fact that he saves us. People can look at us and say, hey, I see something happen to that man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see he's different.
Yeah.
They can see that, but God wants us to actually take those things for you to be a healer.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say you're a healer, but you know what I'm saying? He said, go out into the world, pray for the sick, cast out devils, raise the, you know, do all those things. So you go do that. Because it's him and you doing it. So he tells us to go do those things. And so that's what our purpose here in life is to do that. It's not to live to ourselves.
Right.
You know, and I mentioned the other day, I think it was, I don't know if it's here, it might have been somewhere else, I don't know. But, you know, we as parents, we give our lives for our children.
That's right.
Our children come into this world and they are totally, completely helpless. And parents will work tirelessly to protect and to feed and take care of that child. And even after they're grown,
it's still
that's mommy and daddy. That's what's there, you know. And you still do it. And what are you doing? You're giving yourself for your children. Well, the Lord said, you know, if you just do those good things to those that are good to you, then that's nothing. The heathens do that.
Yeah.
Right.
See, the Sermon on the Mount is calling us to be more than just humans.
Right.
Yeah. To be able to do more than just what standard people do, because all peoples will take care of their own.
Right.
Right. All peoples, some of them don't, but you understand.
Yeah.
But he said, if you'll be perfect, but like your Father in heaven is, right, then you'll go beyond and you'll do things greater. Well, you can't. It's not. It doesn't lie within us to do that unless we have an experience of God in us.
Right.
It's God in us who can help us turn the other cheek, because you don't want to turn the other cheek.
Right. Yeah.
But when God is in control of your life, you can do that. When God is in control of your life, when somebody does you wrong, you can have compassion on them and say, and earnestly, sincerely, honestly pray and say, God, forgive them.
Yeah.
You
right.
can do that because he did. Mm-hmm. Then that's what we're to do. And I think I remember when I was down and preaching for Brother Danny Steeman, and I said, you know, hey, that's Sermon on the Mount. That's for kids, right? But yet, how many of us have got to that place? That somebody could come up and slap you and you turn the other cheek and say, you know, God bless you, brother.
Uh-huh.
Or they sue you for your coat and you give a cloak too. Or they ask you to help them and you a mile and you go 2 miles.
Yeah.
You don't see that.
Right.
But it's supposed to be. Right? It's supposed to be in Christians. And so we're here to represent God. And in doing all that, then we have to be able to go beyond the limits of humanity. And the only way you can do that is if you have the Holy Spirit working in your life, obviously. If God is no more than just a man, what do we have?
Mm-hmm.
I've said this for years to people. Why would somebody believe in God and say, but he don't heal no more? You know, there's people out there that believe in God, that God created everything, but then he has nothing else to do with it,
yeah.
that he doesn't get involved at all.
Right.
There's people who believe stuff like that. Who would want to believe in a God that can't help you?
Right.
That's what makes him God, is when he can do things that nobody else can do.
Right.
Right? Yeah. When the doctors say they can't do nothing for you, and he can,
yeah. right.
that's what makes him God.
Right?
But that characteristics of God is now living in us. And he has called us to live above.
Right.
He's called us to be able to make a difference when nothing else can make a difference.
Yeah.
Right.
He's called us to pray for the sick and then be healed when nobody else can help them. Because
yeah.
that's all the attributes of God working through us that he's called us to do.
Right.
And so I don't want a religion that can't help me. I don't want a religion that they can't heal and can't save and can't break chains and help my family and
right.
help the church. I don't want to serve a God like that.
No.
I'm so glad that our Bible tells us our God is not limited like that. Our God can do those things.
Right.
Amen. And so God is all those things, healing, saving, keeping, you know, delivering, comforting power. He is all those things and always has been as far as, you know. And so, you know, we can't help but love him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When you see all these attributes that he has to be a savior, healer, keeper, guide, protector, all the things you can name it, all the names of Jehovah, compound names of Jehovah, all of those things, when you see he has all that, and you see that he has used those on your behalf and helped you, he has saved you, he has saved your family, he's healed your children when they were sick, and you've seen him do things. Hey, we need to remember.
Sure.
We need to go back down memory lane.
Yeah.
We need to remember Elijah when he had the situation and our sister here, right.
right? Right.
All the different things that God has done throughout the years.
Right.
Hey, I'll never forget what God did for Brother Rodney up on the hill that day.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll never forget that.
Because
there was somebody on that hillside besides man.
Right.
Right? Well, it wasn't no help from nowhere else. But it was going to take a while to get out of there. But God was there,
yeah.
and that made the difference, right?
Amen.
So, we can't help but love him when we see him do those things and confirm His word and move. You know, when you come against some sort of a battle or a giant standing before you, and it seems like you, what are we going to do? I don't know. I see no way out. And you go and you begin to seek God and you begin to pray and you spend time in prayer and you put it before Him. And after a while, you see Him move that giant.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't help but love Him. Mm-hmm. You can't help but love Him and tell people about Him.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The scripture tells us we love Him because He first loved us.
Right.
He first loved us, and it was His love that made Him do all those things on our behalf. Mm-hmm. Walk up Calvary in our place. And when that's revealed to you, that He did those things for you, and you see it working in your life, you can't do anything except love Him for it and appreciate what He's done.
Yeah.
And when you see that, how could you possibly point to something else? Mm-hmm. When we know there is no other creator, there is no other healer, He's in. There is no other. Everything else that tries to imitate Him is a false hope.
Yeah.
So, no other word, no other system, no other creation of man or anything. It's only God, only Christ, only the Word. That's it. And so why would we want to point to anything else?
Yeah.
We're not going to do that.
No.
When you see that He's helped you, you know He can help others, then that's what you're going to tell them. And so, we can't do anything else except love Him because no one else can do what He can do and be what He can be.
Right.
So, you know, God can only fellowship with His own nature.
Yeah. Right.
We say birds of a feather flock together. You know why? Because they get along.
Yeah.
Right.
They like the same thing. They eat the same thing. They enjoy it, you know, and they understand one another, they quack at one another, you know, because they're birds of a feather.
Yeah.
God's not going to fellowship with a bunch of nonsense.
Right.
He can fellowship with His own nature, His own character, His own word. As I was saying over the weekend, I said, listen, the Holy Ghost knows His own word.
Yep.
Right.
He knows it, and He knows whether or not you believe it. He knows whether or not you're living it.
Yep.
He knows. Mm-hmm. And God knows His own character and His own nature, and He can't fellowship with contrary. You know, we've heard this, how that the dove had to come down on a lamb.
Yeah.
Couldn't come down on a wolf.
Right.
We, you know, at some point we've got to get to the place where all these things we've heard that we understand how they work in our lives and put them to work in our lives. Just to say, you know, when you're going through stuff, you're like, Lord, I just need a touch from You. Well, examine your attitude, examine what's going on with you, because the Holy Spirit, a lot of times, He can't come because of our attitudes.
Right?
Right? He can only fellowship with His own character and His own nature.
Yeah.
Now listen, He knows every spirit. He knows everything, right?
Yeah.
So he you know, we might talk to someone, maybe somebody, we talk to somebody and they got a spirit of lust or something, I don't know. And we might not know it. We might not catch it, right? We might have a deceiver or whatever. But God, He knows them all.
Yeah.
Right.
And imagine how sensitive He is to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get anything past Him.
Right.
Imagine how sensitive He is. And so, being that the way it is, how would we ever be able to stand before Him if He didn't make us to where we could?
Right.
Think about it. Nothing gets past Him. You can't hide it.
Yeah.
You can't pretend. Mm-hmm. So we're all in bad shape until He came and made it to where we could stand before Him.
Yeah,
right.
Right? So when you see that He's done that, why would you want to push anything other than that way that gives you access to God? The grace and mercy of God that allows you to come into His presence in prayer and to come to Him with your petition.
Yeah.
Sometimes, brother, sister, sometimes in prayer, I'll say to God, hey, I am that widow woman who's come to the, not that He's unjust, but I'm the widow woman that's bugging the unjust judge.
Yeah.
And He says, I have got to do something because this woman's going to, you know, she's going to wear me out.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you got, sometimes God wants you to show him, because he knows, but he wants you to show him that you really want to seek after him. You really want his program in your life.
Right.
And so you got to pursue him.
Sure.
Right.
Pursue after him.
Yeah.
And you know, it really, it's like I heard somebody say one time, you know, that when Abraham was going to kill his son, and God said, now I know, Abraham, now I know that you'll teach your, you know, and you'll do all this right. Well, God knew.
Sure.
So that whole thing was just so Abraham could come to the understanding.
Right.
And so God lets us go through things, and we have to deal with, and sometimes we have to get out into business until we reach a place where we know what God already knows.
Yeah.
Right.
And we come to that resolve that he already knew. You understand? Mm-hmm. We have to act out, you know, put flesh on these things and come to these things that God has promised us. And so he's done it. And so anyway, we could never stand before him if he had not made a way.
Right.
Right? Then, as sensitive as he is, if his blood has come down on us and has removed all these evil things off of us and made it in such a place that we can stand in his presence and come boldly before his throne of grace, we can come boldly for him. Whatever he's done has made us to where we can do that, then that was pretty significant what he did.
Right.
To allow us to be able to come in his presence without fear, without shame. You know, thinking about people with anxiety, you know, the devil will try to put something on you, even, you know, if he can. But one of the best things I think a person, and it goes more than this, but just as a shallow way to say this, one thing a person could do to help against anxiety, just make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Because when I go down the interstate, and there's a state trooper sitting on the side of the road, and the speed limit is 65, and I got that digital readout on my car, and it says 65 on the money.
Yeah.
I could go right past that guy and never worry about it one bit.
Right.
I don't fret. I don't have any anxiety because I'm doing what I'm supposed to.
Right.
Do you think I could do that if I was doing 85 into 65?
No.
You understand?
Right.
Do what you're supposed to do, and that'll get rid of a lot of anxiety. People have anxiety because they know they've done wrong.
Right.
Okay, and so then if it's not that, then the devil's trying to just put something on you, and you know there's ways to claim these things and get over it,
yeah.
Right? Because he's promised to deliver us from those things.
Uh-huh.
But do what's right. That'll help
yeah.
in a long way. And so he made it to where we could stand before him. And why would we try to point to anything else? We wouldn't. That's our purpose here on life, is to show all of these attributes of God to this world, to let them see and know. You know, the scripture said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
Right.
If you tell people how God delivered you,
yeah.
you're helping them overcome, and you're helping yourself overcome too.
Sure.
Right? Like I said a while ago, it would be really good to go down memory lane. And remember all the things that God has done. I have forgotten some of the things and recently just remembered what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
Things in my life that I had forgotten about.
Right.
And Lord, forgive me. And so, when you see that he's done that, and so once he's made this way, we wouldn't point to any other thing. There's nothing else that we could point to. We can only tell people about the grace of God. And you know, the scripture tells us, we know that God is mighty in battle.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm talking about his attributes and that those attributes live in us. He is mighty in battle.
Right.
And he expects us to be also.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the scripture said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier.
Yeah.
Right? And so you don't, when people go to join the military and they're going off to battle, they're not bringing a bunch of their stereo from home and their special pillow, and they're not packing the cares of life. They're given what they need to get out there and be effective soldiers.
Right.
Right? So no man, the man that warreth, he does not entangle himself with things that's going to cause him to get killed.
Right.
Right.
No, that's spiritually. Spiritually speaking, We're here for a purpose. Brother Daniel, I were talking about that before service there. It is not a pity. We are here to fight a battle. We are here to stand for the kingdom of heaven, right, and to fight every which way we can to, you know, for this kingdom.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, since the Lord is mighty in battle, he wants us to be mighty in battle. And he has equipped us so we can be mighty in battle.
Right.
But, you know, we sing that song, God can only use a soldier he can trust. Right?
Yeah.
What would the army do if they gave you a rifle and they gave you the compass and the maps or whatever, and then you just propped your feet up and didn't do nothing with it?
Yeah.
You'd probably get kicked out. You'd have a mark on your name the rest of your life, probably.
Right.
You know, so God wants us to be warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He wants us to be mighty in battle.
Right.
Yep.
And so when I say that to bring us to the scripture that we read there, that about the weapons of our warfare. 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare. We are to be warriors, but our weapons are not carnal.
Right.
Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the things that Satan tries to set up in your life, a stronghold where he can fortify himself where seemingly you'll never get free from it. But the scripture says we have weapons that can take that down.
Yeah,
right. Right.
But they're not carnal weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They're spiritual weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, just like Jesus, he didn't physically win anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
It was all spiritually. He won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because he fought a spiritual battle. And so these weapons, the weapons that we have, they are not carnal. So, you know, think about Brother Branham there and that maniac. Great old big guy. If you hear him describe it, the guy is probably about my size, maybe. I don't consider myself big, but for Brother Branham, that was a big guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Brother Branham, he couldn't physically do nothing with that man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So it wasn't no sense in trying. But he was mighty in battle, right? The Lord was mighty in battle there.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually conquered that spirit that was in that man.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm saying that because for us to be mighty in battle, we can't go running to it physically. We can't go run carnally. We can't deal with it carnally.
Right.
You might as well just get used to that.
Right.
Go to your spiritual weapons and learn how to use them. Be mighty in battle, like our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the spiritual weapons and begin to use those.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, as it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that exalts itself against the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Our weapons, this weapon of warfare, can cast those things down. Bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. You know, the scripture said, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, your loins, you can have a garment, it can be flowing in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
Don't know what you believe, what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gird that up, tie it up so it's not flowing. You got it under control, right?
Yeah.
So here is you bring every thought that comes along, if it's contrary to the Word, you bring that into subjection to the Word. That's a big part of our battles right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Big part of it. Satan works with fear of the unknown.
Right.
He tries to say, oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if that happens?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can't even go there. But what I can do is I can go to prayer and in faith and confessing God's word, and I can send that there,
right,
and it'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we want to do. We want to fight these battles like that. And so, if she'll bring Ephesians chapter 6, we know this, the whole armor of God. We'll read it real quick and then we'll be done pretty quickly. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, it's not carnal. But but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, fortified places.
Right.
See, Satan's not stupid. He worked a plan so that he could fortify himself in this cosmos. The ways of man, Satan is very fortified in all those religions and all those customs, all those traditions. He ain't stupid. He fortified himself in there and took positions that makes it very hard for people to overcome that. And they can't unless they have Christ. See, he fortified himself out there.
Yeah.
So we take the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the evil day, which I think you can see we're in the evil day. Well, having done all to stand, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having a breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplications for all saints. Amen. You can have all the armor of God on, and Satan can be striking at you and it not harm you because you have all this armor on.
Right.
And by the way, you know, all those pieces of armor have certain places, but a shield of faith can be used anywhere.
Right.
You can use it anywhere. But here's the thing. You might be able to be shielded from things Satan throws at you, but we want to destroy your enemy.
Right.
And that you've got one thing you can use for that, and that's the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
It is written.
Right.
Yeah. It is written. That's why it's so important to pray, get into the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Get caught up in that heavenly place and in that realm. Pray, speak, go after these enemies. Send that word out there. Defend what God has promised you in His Word. Show yourself, hey, I'm here to take back what you have taken. I'm here to defend what you're trying to take from me, right? In the spirit realm, though.
Right.
Not physically, but spiritually, getting in, praying, watching, and get into the Spirit, and then do that. But you've got to use the Word. If you want to destroy your enemy.
Right.
You can't just sit there and say, well, he can't hurt me because I believe it. You know, no, it is written, right?
Right.
Thy house will be saved.
Right.
Right? It is written. They are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them.
Mm-hmm.
Use the word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Speak it. Get in that realm and trust me. Not me, but to understand. When you get into the presence of God, you're not going to say something that's wrong.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you get caught up and you're in His presence, then if in that presence He allows you to speak and claim something, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's not you.
Right.
It's Him. And do that consistently, day in and day out. Have that walk. Have that. Let these attributes that we're talking about in God come down and live through us and be Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're at our Gethsemane. We have those.
Right.
We do.
Yeah.
But do what He did.
Right,
right there at Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
Fulfill the Word of God for your lives.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. We are to do that. And I'll end by saying this, from a message standpoint. We are to be soldiers. We are not just to be sitting here and just having a good time. We are to fight. We are to make this word work for us. I say make it. You understand? We have to put it into action.
Right.
It will work for us, but you've got to swing that sword.
Right.
You got it. If you don't do it, and so from a message standpoint, we are supposed to add to our faith. We are supposed to add to our faith virtue. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be working on this.
Uh-huh.
Right? We're supposed to be saying, you know, and getting down to business with God, I want that patience. I want that virtue. I want that knowledge. We're supposed to be working this and adding this into our experience.
Right.
Not just kind of just waiting to see what the devil is going to do today and then try to defend it. Right? To be an army to win, you've got to be offensive.
Right.
Not just defensive.
Right.
And that's something. We need to go after the things that God has said is ours.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We believe that. We learn to operate those things every day. You'll see some things happening. Amen?
Yeah.
We've got to... We don't want to be... Sometimes I think this too in the message. We're, you know, obese. Obese on the word. Not using the word and exercising with it. Doing something with it. We just feed on it, feed on it, feed on it. God wants us to do something with it.
Right.
Right? We believe that. It would do us good. Amen. Just bow our hearts and pray just for a moment. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the service, I pray, Lord, that the words we've spoken tonight, Lord, that each one would remember those things and see what it is that we are challenged to do, what we're called here to do, to represent you in this world. Lord, we're here to fight a good fight of faith, like Apostle Paul said, to keep the faith and run our course. We don't know when our time is up here on this earth. Maybe your whole entire bride will go before morning. Maybe each an individual might. We don't know, but Lord, in that between now and that time, we just want to run well and pray, God, that we press toward that mark that Apostle Paul talked about that's in you. And we just pray, God, that you would encourage each one. May they find that place to get into their prayer closet and begin to fight the good fight of faith. That's good in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to 596. Key of G. I mean, so glad you don't have to walk this walk alone.
Amen.
Got something there that's pulling you. And I'm not talking about just the feel-good stuff that Pentecost might be. I'm talking about something down inside. At night I lay and I begin to cry.
Oh,
will.